Before we turn to God's word, let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find wisdom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson we find in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14. Acts 14, beginning to read at verse 8. Listen for the word of God. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed. He called out, "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man jumped up and he began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Laconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of this, they tore their clothes. They rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth, and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven, crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, though, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So a minister decided a visual demonstration would help clarify his point, add a little emphasis on his Sunday morning sermon. The sermon was about clean living, and so the minister brought up four jars. And in the first jar, he placed a worm in alcohol. And in the second jar, a worm was placed in a jar with cigarette smoke. The third worm was put in a third jar of chocolate syrup. The fourth worm was placed in a jar of good, clean soil. Then he went on and he preached his sermon. At the end of the sermon, he then turned and he looked and he said, "Now, let's report the results. The first worm in alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. But the fourth worm in good, clean soil, alive." So the minister asked the congregation, "Hey, what did you learn from this demonstration?" A woman sitting in the back raised her hand. And she said, "Well, as long as you drink and smoke and eat chocolate, you don't get worms." Well, there went another sermon right out the window. She missed the point completely. But sermons aren't the only place that can happen. It happens all the time with children. Parents trying to make a point, but they don't get it. Teachers have that experience in the classroom. And there's plenty of examples of children's sermons gone bad, in which all that preparation, all that work, only to discover the children missed the point. Well, this morning we encounter the crowds in Lystra who missed the point. Paul and Barnabas are sent out to travel throughout the region, sharing the good news of God and Jesus Christ. And as they are in the city of Lystra, they come upon this man crippled from birth, unable to walk. And Paul instructs the man, "Stand on up." And he sprang up on his feet. And he begins to walk. That must have been quite a moment. You want to celebrate. And that's what the crowd wants to do. They want to celebrate and they offer their praise to Zeus and Hermes. They're ready to sacrifice oxen to Zeus and Hermes. This crowd completely misinterprets the healing power that they just witnessed. Boy, talking about opportunities for sitcoms. Ranks right up there with the story of the teenager who went to the wrong house to ask the girl to prom. Or the young coworker who received flowers from an anonymous admirer, and she made up her mind who it was, and she expressed her gratitude with a kiss to this man, only to learn that it wasn't him. Good response, wrong guy. The crowd at Lystra believes that the gods of Zeus and Hermes have appeared in person and they've healed this man. And they're ready to give thanks to Zeus, aka Barnabas, Hermes, aka Paul. For Barnabas and Paul, though, this is no laughing matter. They are not gods, but bearers of good news. They are witnesses to the power of Christ. In spite of their attempts, though, to explain this, the crowd continues to miss the point. The people want to give credit where credit is not due to the embodiment of Zeus and Hermes and Paul and Barnabas. Whenever there are expressions of power, one runs the risk for misinterpretation, misunderstanding, misappropriation. How many times have believers and even unbelievers attributed the work of God to someone or something else? Dramatic healings draw a crowd in Lystra with cheers and accolades. Victory over insurmountable odds draw favorable responses. What began as a mission of mercy, healing a man who hasn't been able to walk, has now backfired. It just seems like that hole is getting deeper and deeper. It has sown seeds of temptation. The more the people keep pressing them about being gods. Oh, there's a growing temptation for self-aggrandizement, self-congratulations. That's what the people want, for Paul and Barnabas to accept their congratulations. How easy it would have been for them. But they continue to hold firm. This becomes a slippery slope. Narcissism, people admiring you for the great things happening. Soon you'll start believing it yourself. Look what I did. Hey, Barnabas, yeah, this is good work. Man, I said the words, that man was healed. Feels good to be recognized. Patted on the back. Lifted up. But be careful. bearers of Christ's power, the witnesses that we are of God's work, we are always in danger of being mistaken as the source of power in us, of being mistaken as an object of another person's praise and gratitude. It's very easy to let all that praise fall right on us. During this pandemic, there have been some interesting developments. Our church runs a small food pantry. We help out maybe about 10, 12 people a month. The regulars. They come towards the end of the month when they're running a little short. But about mid-April, we started receiving requests from families, people out of work, people who lost jobs, people who had not received unemployment yet. They needed help. We went from helping just about a dozen people a month to helping 2 to 3 families a day. Our little food pantry transformed overnight. And it wasn't from our own doing, but it seemed like people came out of the woodwork donating groceries. People took it on themselves to let other community members know about the food pantry that we run. Soon, donations started rolling in. Thousands of dollars were being donated. Food showing up every day, multiple times a day. And all those families, over 100, were fed. Now, I'd like to say that, hey, Pons, look what they did. Look what we did. Proud to be the pastor of a church, feeding hundreds of people, big food pantry, recognition. It wasn't us. It was others who donated the food, the financial resources, even the volunteers. They came out of the woodwork to help, and I got to sit back and realize that was the work of the Spirit. That out of this tragedy that has gripped us, God raised up a community of people to help. We were just the recipients, the place to store the food. God did some good work. Name it for what you will. Our healing when we are sick, or healing of broken spirits, restored relationships, renewed faith in Jesus Christ. The list can be quite long. These things and many more, they happen. They happen on a daily basis, and people are ready to acknowledge them. But when we are the body of Christ, living out the power of Christ, we have to keep pointing beyond ourselves and our work to Christ. These good works actually become our teaching moments to affirm the good work and then to teach others about how that work happens, where did it come from? By the power and the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. That's who's behind all this. Luke, the author of Acts here, encourages us to rewrite our narrative, our personal stories. So often our personal stories are a lot about me, about us. Recently, a woman shared with me about her story of leaving an abusive relationship. She experienced healing in her body, and after being sustained in her loss, we talked, and She could have spoken about her own strength and how she just picked herself up by the bootstraps and she carried through. About how the doctors healed her. About being self-reliant. But that's not what she talked about. That was not her story anymore. She tells her story about God rescuing her, about God bringing the right doctors into her life, about God bringing the right people to surround her, to support her in difficult times, about bringing healthy relationships into her life. God was working here. So that's the narrative that Luke wants us to find in our own lives and to begin telling. To whom does your story point? It point back at you? Or does it point to someone else? There was a time before I was diagnosed with celiac disease that there were some very difficult Sunday mornings. Often wouldn't feel well. And people afterwards would say, "What a great sermon." Or worship really touched me. "Thank you, Pastor." But God, in God's sense of humor, mercy, I knew the truth, because I was utterly exhausted, had no energy. God was the one who spoke to them in worship. God spoke to them through whatever sermon I had. It wasn't that I preached a good sermon. God was working. That's my story. That I like to point to God being behind this work of preaching. Sometimes the people may not see where you're pointing. There's always people, like the ones in Lystra, who just simply won't get it. But keep pointing nonetheless. Don't miss the point to whom you need to point, that they may see God and know who is the author of all of this great work. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, it feels good to point to you, to take that burden off of our own shoulders, and to recognize that you are the one providing, you're the one sustaining, you're the one, you're the one. Help us to remember that this week, that in each day and each challenge, each time that we experience a blessing, that we remember to whom we must point so that others will get the point. It's in your name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I invite you to join with me as we affirm our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.